Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a little girl finds that a gift from her new step-grandmother may have more abilities than meet the eye. Plus your calls at 855-853-4802. It's Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello. So I wonder if she got one of those haunted Pee Wee Herman dolls from 1989.
Not exactly.
They do amazing things like talk in reverse and possess the cat.
No. No, not this time.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It was funny. Earlier, I was speaking of interesting abilities. I just did a Facebook Live session here, hence the camera that's sitting right there staring at me.
Okay.
It's not on anymore. But people were talking about The Conjuring 2. And apparently there's a lot of, there's a mixture of some urban legends and stuff now surrounding that of people being possessed or priests going in and exorcising theaters before its showings. And I don't know how legit these things are.
Uh-huh.
Somebody did send a link of there's a mixture. Like someone died in it once, but people die in theaters having heart attacks. That actually does happen somewhat commonly.
Okay.
So the fact that it happened in a horror movie, if you were to take a look at all the movies that probably produce heart attacks, I would think horror movies are probably up there with someone who is susceptible to have a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
Just take all the paranormal out of it. Just this could cause your blood pressure to kind of go that far and you could probably have a heart attack. It's like, you don't ride certain things at Disney.
Yeah.
You know, because of that. So I think you have some of those little nuggets of reality that mix in with something like that, and then you kind of get all these urban legends that come out of it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting because people were talking about other things happening around The Conjuring. And right after I finished wrapping things up on the little broadcast there, I was messing around on this computer, and I had the headphones plugged in, and all of a sudden I start hearing, it went from silent just to hearing this. Turn that up. And it's just, it's another one of my creepy droning mm-hmm. backgrounds. But, and I did not touch the screen. The screen is way over here. It takes quite a reach to get over here and press it. I had not pressed it. All of a sudden, I've labeled that one Conjuring.
Okay.
And it's been labeled Conjuring for a long time. Just because it reminds me of the music in Conjuring. And it started playing by itself.
Aren't you proud?
Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of odd because you couldn't even bump it. I don't even have a separate mouse for that computer. It's all touchscreen.
But you have random noises pop up on your computer all the time, even during the show.
I have random noises, but this, I saw it light up as if I pressed it over there. But there's a thing called static electricity as well, which can trigger a touchscreen pretty easily.
Yeah.
So I just kind of thought, oh, that's kind of funny.
That is pretty funny.
Tell Jenny about that.
You're going to see that movie by yourself.
You're not going to go see it with
you
me?
You just killed it. It's done.
I think it'd be one for the whole family to sit down and watch.
No.
Speaking of creepy things, over the weekend, I got to freak out my parents a little bit.
Did you send that?
What?
That picture.
Oh, yeah. I have not sent it to them yet, but I'm planning on it. My parents just got back from a little vacation with some of their friends, and they were sending us pictures. And what I decided to do was, and I learned about this from our listeners, who had been sending in fake ghost pictures to our ghost show. And we only want real ghost pictures, but they're kind of easy to recognize if you know what to look for. Anyway, they had this picture, and they were standing in front of like this kind of waterfall-ish thing. And the way the light hit the picture, it was kind of overexposed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, this looks kind of odd, you know, it's just overexposure. So I downloaded one of those apps where you can insert like a ghost into the picture. And then I put it standing up behind like this rock ledge that was behind them. And I'm going to send it to her saying, did you see the man in this picture? Just see what happens. I'll just see what happens and we'll let you know how that goes. I don't think it'll be quite up there with when I called pretending I was in jail when I was a kid on the radio. But I think she may be a little freaked out for a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it was pretty good. I thought the ghost was pretty good. Let's go to our first letter today. Brandon writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny, all the way from England. I've been a regular listener to the show for about a year and a half now and have really enjoyed hearing other people's ghost stories. Being fairly open-minded about the paranormal myself, I've had a few minor experiences in the past, but what happened to me recently is by far my most convincing experience. My girlfriend and I have a 4-year-old son, and we recently went on a short weekend break in a coastal holiday apartment in a town called Sheringham, which is a seaside town about 30 miles from where we live. I won't name the actual place where we stayed, but for anyone that might know the area, it's right on the seafront and is part of a building that joins into a pub. The apartment itself was okay, the usual style of holiday let in England. Slightly run down, but pleasant enough and quite cheap for the area and location. It was filled with old ornaments and display cabinets, which made us think that the apartment probably belonged to an elderly couple or owner who may have handed the place down some years ago and is now operated by a younger family member who has taken the place on as a holiday rental business. To give you a brief idea of the layout, it's all on one floor, with one bedroom with an adjoining bathroom, the main living area, and a connecting kitchen, and a sofa bed, which we slept on, and our son had the bedroom. All was well on the first night, the usual strange noises in an unfamiliar property, but nothing that gave the impression that there might be anything more going on. On the second night, that all changed. After a long day on the beach in the lovely spring sunshine, by the end of the day, all three of us were exhausted. We put our son to bed around 9 p.m. and then sat in our bed and watched TV for a while. My girlfriend fell asleep during a film, and I ended up staying awake until after midnight. At this point, a small thunderstorm started outside. After the film had finished, I turned everything off and went to sleep. Just as I had drifted off, I was woken up by the sound of a door handle inside the property being rattled about 4 or 5 seconds. I then stopped briefly and then did the same thing again. My first reaction was that it was my son getting up to use the bathroom. So I listened for him as I assumed that he was having trouble getting in or out of the bathroom. But to my disbelief, I heard no call out for help or child footsteps returning to bed. It was at this point that the penny dropped and I realized that whoever or whatever had been rattling the door handle was not any of the living guests that were in the apartment. Unfortunately, my girlfriend didn't hear the noise at this time and she was asleep. So I turned around, buried my head under the blanket and tried to go back to sleep. I then heard a similar noise coming from another part of the building and woke up my girlfriend to tell her, but again, she did not hear the noise. At the time, I was convinced that it was either my son or someone trying to break in, but the sound of the front door compared to the door handles on the inside of the building were very different. While I always look for common sense about these things, this is the first time I've ever experienced something that I can't offer an alternative theory about. I didn't feel that place had any negative feelings about it, or that if there was anything paranormal there, it was making us feel unwelcome. Perhaps it was just letting me know that it was there. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Love the show and doing my best to spread the word out here. Take care. Brandon from England.
You know, we've had other stories about the pennies randomly showing up and the lore that kind of goes along with that. And no joke, one of the houses we were looking at in Branson recently had a creepy vibe to it. The kids were like, neither one of them were happy in this house.
Yeah.
The whole time we were looking, they couldn't get out of it fast enough.
Yeah.
And I noticed as we were going up the stairs, like four or five stairs, had like a penny, like somebody dropped a bunch of change on the stairs.
Really?
It was weird. And the kids, you know, usually they spot a dime and they just go after
it. Sure.
Nope. None of them saw it, even cared. Did you notice that?
Was that the house that had the morgue in the basement?
It was not a morgue, but it was like a giant workshop with a bunch of really old like windows and doors.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure somebody was making something great out of it.
It looked like neat stuff.
It was scary, though.
But yeah, you kind of said it had a weird vibe.
It had a weird vibe.
I didn't get a weird vibe. I mean, it was dark down there, and it wasn't very spacious compared to some of the other places that we had been looking at. But the workshop area was just odd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I get that was their thing, you know, so they wanted a bigger space for it. So it essentially took up like what would have been probably two or three bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a lot of work to fix. But it was just odd where it was in the house, too.
Well, Harp went in there and freaked out, and Libby was already heading back up the stairs. So
yeah, Harp had the reaction of when we were at the Titanic Museum with that one room she didn't want to go into.
Yeah.
It was just immediate. No one had said anything about ghosts. She was just like, oh, no, no.
Yeah.
So that child knows things.
She does.
She's like a ghost detector.
Mm-hmm.
She is. She's like, she's my little PKE meter. That's what I'm going to call her from now on. Little PKE meter.
Okay.
It's like, I'm not a EKP meter. You said P. That's how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Remember PKE meters from Ghostbusters?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she is.
It had the little things that came out the sides.
Exactly. I'm just going to hold her up in front of me, and she can move her arms around like the wand. I'm going to dress her up as a PKE meter for Halloween.
That would be cute.
And just carry her around. No, really, she does detect ghosts. Really, seriously. Mia says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I was listening to the episode titled Inappropriately Touched by an Angel.
That was an early one. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember like thinking, here's a great title. That was totally a title I made up, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was you. All you.
Inappropriately Touched by an Angel. With a special guest star, Della Reese. And I wanted to share an experience that she was on the original one, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
And I wanted to share an experience that happened to me a long time ago while I was on vacation in Cuba. I was in my early teens at the time, and my parents took both my brothers and me to Cuba as a going away celebration, family vacation, because my eldest brother, David, was going to college. We were traveling from one to another, from one end of the island to another. We had to take the Cuban version of the Greyhound bus. Our seats were in the back of the bus, in the back two rows, since there were five of us, and my parents didn't want one of us sitting alone or next to a stranger. My parents were sitting in the three-seater row with my brother Ivan, and I was sitting diagonally in front of them, next to David, in one of the window seats on the right side. I was talking to David while we waited for the bus to depart when I suddenly felt something hit me in the back of the head. Not like a slap or smack, but more of something like knocking me in the back of the head, like pushing my head down. I immediately turned around to shout to my dad because I thought maybe he was putting luggage in the compartment above our seats and it had fallen on my head. But when I turned around, my dad and mom were both sitting down talking to Ivan. My dad wasn't even standing. My mom asked me if I needed something since she saw me turn around so abruptly. So I asked her to look at the back of the seat to see if something fell from the overhead compartment onto the back row seating where they were, or to the floor. She looked at me like I was crazy, but she checked anyway, and there was nothing on the floor or seat. She even got up to look at the bags, and nothing had fallen from the compartment. It looked just like it did when my dad put everything up there in the beginning. So I gave Ivan the stink eye, thinking that he had pushed my head down just to be a jerk to annoy me. But I realized this probably wasn't what happened, because Ivan was sitting between my parents, and they were talking to him. Believe me, when I saw there's no way he could have gotten up, it hit me, sat back down, and gotten away with it. Our parents are very strict, and they would not have let him hit me since they hated seeing us fight and in no way condoned any type of violence, even if it was just us playing around and smacking each other playfully or pushing each other just jokingly. Whenever our parents found out that any of us were fighting with each other or that one of us had hurt each other, whoever did the hitting always got grounded for a long time or had to do the other one's chores. So that was very unlikely. When I sat back down in my seat, I looked at David, who I was always closer to and trusted more, and I asked him if he had hit me in the back of the head. This wasn't something usual for him, so he looked kind of offended that I even asked him. Being an 18-year-old man and not hitting women, especially not his baby sister, as he called me. But I explained what I felt, and he said it was weird, but dismissed it and said maybe I just imagined it, and it was some sort of chill down my spine or something like that. A reflex from my nerves or just a weird flinch or twitch from my body. I don't think it was either of those, and I could have sworn on my life that something either fell on my head or pushed it down. I don't know whether it was a ghost or some spirit, but what I do know is that I couldn't explain it back then and still can't explain it now. Besides telling David, I didn't bother telling my mom or dad because they would have said that I was imagining things or giving a supernatural paranormal interpretation to something that was completely natural, probably a repeat what David told me. I've always been fascinated by ghosts, magic, folklore, urban legends, and just creepy unexplained things in general, a passion my parents and brothers do not share. I absolutely love your show. I enjoy it immensely, and sometimes it scares the bejesus out of me. But it's so great, I can't stop listening. Good vibes, lots of positive energy to both of you and your adorable babies. Much love, Mia. Writing from the eternally sunny and permanently humid Miami, Florida.
So I take it that the parents were strict enough, probably not the kind of parents that would goof around, that it couldn't have been one of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to say. I mean, they poke, they prod, they push, they do different things like that. But that's kind of an odd thing to be on a bus and have that happen.
Haunted bus.
Maybe so.
Ghost bus. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. You know, I've wondered about vehicles and stuff. And there's stories of airplanes where parts end up being used. And this was so much years ago, I don't know how, I'm guessing this probably doesn't happen very much anymore. But there's been stories of airplanes that have had like ghosts on them where they would see a captain or somebody walking around that shouldn't be there, that is not in fact on the plane, or like walking through the plane when the stewardess are checking or cleaning things up after the flight. And then they see a captain walk back towards the galley with no real exit off that plane other than like the emergency door.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back to talk and there's no one there. And they actually went back to then look at, well, what's going on here? And it turned out that some of the parts on the plane were actually usable parts from a plane crash.
See, I don't know that I would.
I don't think that happens anymore.
No.
But this is more like 1980s, 1970s story. And that's a documented one. I can't think of it. And it was a fairly well-known plane crash, too.
I just wouldn't think the FAA would allow that anymore. I mean,
no. I mean, that's all. It would never happen anymore.
Okay.
But for, you know, at one point in time, it must have been an acceptable practice.
It's like the leftovers from Airport 77 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's something like that.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what or when, but that is a documented one. So I could see the same, what I'm getting around to, happening with a bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I got that part. But, you know, because it happens all the time with automobiles.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times? Gosh, I never even thought of that. How many times, you know, especially you got a used car or something, or your car is good for the most part, but it needs a new door, especially if it's like an out of model mm-hmm. one. You go to the junkyard
mm-hmm.
and you find the part and you put it back on. You have no idea why that car is in the junkyard, what happened to it. If someone died in the car, you don't know.
Sure.
And then here's the part.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. So.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle writes in, this all started when I was 6. I'd run around my grandparents' two-story house chasing what my mom always assumed was my imaginary friend. I never told her his name, but it was always a boy, and I was always happy. One day, we took a family photo at the house with all of our family. They tried to put me in the middle because I was the youngest, and none of my younger cousins were born yet. I refused to tell my mother that the little boy was scaring me. When asked who the little boy was, I'd point to between my aunt's legs, saying he was right there, and he was making scary faces. Afterwards, there was a blur caught between my two aunt's legs. I was looking down at my zebra toy and refused to look at the camera during the picture. Then, weeks later, I was sleeping in my mom's bed when she woke up to a childlike figure walking towards her. At first, she assumed it was me, but when she rolled over, she saw me freaked out, pulling the covers over her head and murmuring for it to go away. It came close to her face and then backed away and disappeared. Nothing much happened after that for 6 years, but when I was 12, we moved into a shared house with our grandparents again. After my mom met and married a man, his mother, as a wedding gift, gave us a set of towels. Or owls. Is it supposed to be owls or towels?
Owls, like the bird. They like get ceramic owls.
Oh, okay.
Not real owls.
That'd be an interesting gift.
Yeah.
Here's some owls for you. A set of them, in fact. Me, after seeing their marriage for months before they met and telling my mom about them, loved the owls right away. After keeping them in my mom's bedroom for weeks, they started to move on their own. My mother blamed me for moving them because I loved them and locked her room when she was gone. One day, while I was at school, she came home to find the owls that were on a shelf moved to the windowsill. One night they were sleeping when they heard scratching noises, causing my mom to wake up and watch the last owl slowly turn to face them. She freaked out and moved them into the hallway closet that opened parallel to her door. The next day, we all left for a family night out, coming home to find the locked house still locked, but the hallway closet door, my mother's door open, and the owls on the windowsill. We all freaked out, but with no forced entry, couldn't call the police. We soon found this a normal trend with the owls moving to different places after we moved houses. Usually before they moved, my older brother would see a little girl that looked like me wander the house when I wasn't home, and it confused my brother. He would ask me why I wouldn't talk to him, and then I'd explain that I wasn't even home. This continued until when I was 13, almost 14, we moved into an apartment complex. I screamed when I saw a little girl standing on our stairs when my brother was in the bathroom. Several weeks afterwards, we were messing around with him and chasing me as we crawled up the stairs. We're laughing and messing around like siblings always do when I turned to face an open dark doorway of the upstairs bathroom. I screamed as I saw a little girl that didn't have any distinguishable features. She stared at my face and I screamed back into my brother, who immediately looked to see what I was screaming at. He didn't see anything and later asked me to go turn on the upstairs bathroom light. I refused, saying that I would never go up there again.
I wouldn't go up there either, and there was something, I think, attached to those owls. I mean, I don't know if it had something to do with the new grandmother, the new step-grandmother, or what, but she gave this as a wedding gift to the new daughter-in-law, and that's kind of an odd gift, these ceramic owls.
You think she cursed the owls?
I'm kind of wondering. You know, maybe she wasn't real happy about the relationship.
Those owls are creepy.
Owls are creepy. And in certain cultures, they don't represent good things.
I remember having an owl lamp.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was one of those deals where I think I found it in my parents' attic. And it was one of those, you know, from the era, you know, it was like a 70s type like lamp, you know. And depending on how you turned the you turned the light switch, and it was like the three setting deal. And it could either turn the lamp on or turn the owl's eyes on or both.
And so, who wants that as a nightlight? Just these glowing eyes?
I did.
Good grief.
And I had it on I found it up there. My mom's like, why would you want that in your, like, it's cool. I want that in as my nightstand lamp. So I had that for a good portion of high school.
That is creepy. Do you remember the dog one we saw at the antique mall that time?
Very similar in nature, except that was a dog. Yeah, where the eyes just light up and glow.
Weird.
So, imagine at one point in time, people were like, oh, it's so cute. And then it started being used in horror movies. It got a really bad connotation to it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you're not an EPP yet, please consider being one. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. That just helps keep our show on the air, and it's jam-packed. You get almost 100 bonus episodes now of our show, exclusive for EPPs. Our best stories are there. It's only $5 a month. So if you like this thing, consider signing up at ghostpodcast.com. And thank you. In advance for helping to keep us on the air. Let's go to Richard in Texas. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Richard. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. Love the show. It is a great outlet for those of us who have had these experiences to share our stories and basically verify that we are not all crazy. Being from San Antonio, there are lots of things and lots of stories that you hear growing up. There's the story of La Llorona, the weeping woman who drowned her children after her husband left her. There's the story of Lechusa, the witch who was turned into an owl by the devil. There's the donkey lady. There's so many weird stories and legends that are circling around San Antonio, several of which I have witnessed myself or heard secondhand stories of people who have witnessed something strange along those lines. The story I want to share today is about a camping trip that me and my family took when we were younger, still into our teen years. All my cousins, there we have a very large family, being Mexicans from Texas, of course. We have a very large family, and so every year we would go camping, usually once or twice a year. And of course, now being teenagers at the time when this happened, or preteens at the time when this happened, we would stay up all night long telling ghost stories. And basically the first one to fall asleep, we would mess with, you know, put shaving cream in their hand and get them to slap their face, or just other, you know, juvenile stuff like that, like you do at a sleepover. But on this one night, we were all up and we were had the radio on really low and just kind of telling ghost stories. And one of my cousins noticed something along the water side. In order to kind of paint the picture better, the park where we stayed at is called, well, I don't know if I can say what it's called, but it's along the Frio River. And the Frio River, of course, Frio being cold, had a bank on the park we were at, had a bank on one side that went up maybe 8 to 5 feet before you had to walk down the bank in order to get to the actual river. Along the actual river was a tree line, you know, where you could hang tight ropes to the trees and swing and drop into the river, of course. But one of my cousins noticed that something was moving along the tree line on our side, you know, down by the river. We all kind of stood up to see what it was. At first sight, it, and this is, you know, I've never ever seen a badger in Texas, but that's exactly what it looked like, the way it was moving, kind of creeping along the river, just really hunched low, trying to stay low to the ground, and just kind of slowly moving, you know, no real rush to it, just real slow. But we couldn't see ahead to accurately make out what kind of animal it was. So we get up and we try to follow it to see what it is. And of course we start creeping, and you know, we're whispering amongst ourselves, trying to, you know, what is that? What is that? Oh, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what color it is, or, and just by looking at it, me personally, from when I saw it crawling on the floor, it looked like a charcoal color. No more than maybe 2.5, maybe 3 feet long. It just kind of looked like an amorphous blob, just kind of going along the tree side. And so as we're walking, we're still approaching it, and there's about 5 or 6 of us that are trying to figure out what this animal is, while at the same time trying to not scare it off. So we keep following behind it, and we get to about within 10 to 12 feet from it. And again, like I said, this thing is moving very, very slowly, just creeping along. And when we get that close to it, all of a sudden it just, like, it leaps into the air, and these wings shoot out from the side. And our first reaction to seeing this is, holy shit. You know, and then, and when I say it leaped into the air, it leaped maybe 10 to 15 feet into the air, and these wings shot out from it. Its next move was to go into, or fly past the tree line, the trees. And so when it did that, we all kind of, we ran to see where it went, where it was going, and there was nothing. Once it flew past the trees, there was nothing. I should point out at this time that it is a full moon on this night, so the sky is pretty well lit up to where we could see something flying off. Once we get past it, past the tree line, to see where it went to, I noticed at this time that we hear nothing. It is complete silent. There is no flapping of the wings. You don't feel the gust of wind that we should have felt when this thing took off. And that's where it really puzzled me as to what it was that we saw. Because, I mean, yes, there are swans, there are cranes that, you know, when they take off, you feel that gust. And we felt nothing. So as we're scratching our heads, walking back to our campsite and the table we were sitting at, we're all just looking at each other like, what was that? You know, we're all describing what we saw as it was creeping along the trees. And one of my cousins was saying that, you know, it looked the same way I saw it, as kind of like a charcoal gray color. One of my cousins said he thought it looked black with it had some stripes on it. That was pretty much a consensus when it was crawling. But once it leapt up into the air, each of us had a different opinion of what we saw. Some of us say it looked like a smoky white color. I thought it was just pure white from what I saw. Another one of my cousins said it looked kind of like a brownish or a yellowish color. You know, and we're all just scratching our heads like, how did we all see this same thing? But then it came off looking so different to each of us. And then once it flew past the tree line, how we saw nothing. You know, we all just kind of scratched our heads at that one, how we didn't see anything. We didn't hear anything. We're looking up in the trees with flashlights and not seeing anything. And like it maybe jumped onto a tree branch and just kind of hung out there to get away from us. You know, we five or six kids with flashlights, you figure we'd be able to see something, but no. You know, it's just kind of a head scratcher. But anyways, that's just one story. I will definitely call back with more. Again, I love the show, guys. I love what you guys do. We'll call you again soon with another one. Thank you. Take care from San Antonio.
Thank you, Richard. Kind of, I don't know, the thing that comes to my mind is like Mothman.
Yeah, makes you wonder if other people in that area have had any kind of experience with a creature like that.
That would just be so freaky. I mean, I'm just, you know, picture you like, what is that? What is that? And boom, and it spreads its wings, and it's, you know, it's startling when a bird does that and you don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's like, wait a second, I don't think that's a bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then what the hell is that?
Right.
You know, that's even creepier than I think having a run in with your Yeti or your Bigfoot or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, type where it runs away. If it gets into the air, it's like, oh God. I mean, that means it can even just come over me too and, you know, swoop down and pick you up if that's what it really wants to do. It adds a whole other list of abilities to it.
There's no getting away from it.
Exactly. That's what I think what makes it even creepier. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your experiences, your stories with us. Let's go over to our next caller, Derek. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Derek. I'm a first-time caller, soon to be a long-time listener. I love what I've heard on your show so far, and I have a story that's kind of stuck with me through the years that I think you might find interesting. It actually goes back to 1973. It started when I was 2 years old. My family had lived in Los Angeles, California, and my father was working for a real estate company out there. The owner of the company had actually been an active member and pretty well known in the community for a number of years. When we had lived out there, he had moved into a house that was owned by the family that had been built back in the 1800s. I'm not sure how long we had actually lived there. It was probably 6 months. I know that the memories of a two-year-old may not seem that objective, but I can actually remember my first birthday, so I do have a fairly good recollection of at least the first part of this story. So we were living in Mr. Kenny's house, and the bedroom that I stayed in was an upstairs room. Now, to give you an idea, because this house was built in the late 1800s, it was kind of almost like a little bit of a Victorian type of styling to it. It was a larger house, at least 3,500 square feet. The family had owned it ever since. Well, from what I was told by my mother, the room that I slept in, my bedroom as a baby, Our dog would not go in. We had a German Shepherd named Tora. Tora was a Korean word for kill. I guess my dad wanted to give it a threatening name. But anyway, Tora, our killer German Shepherd, would not go into the room, but would oftentimes sit and either bark or growl from the bottom of the stairwell, looking up at the room. And of course, my parents would have to call the dog off and send him outside or whatever. So anyway, as a young child, I went through quite a few babysitters, some just out of necessity, some because I was a bit of a spoiled brat when I was younger. And I always remembered that I was afraid to sleep alone in the dark. I had to, at the very least, have a nightlight on. Well, I remember that whenever I was sent there to go to bed, you know, my mom would tell me a story or say goodnight, but she would leave and I would cry myself to sleep often. I remember there was this one babysitter in particular. I can't remember her name. You know, obviously, I was only 2 years old, so you know, my recollection on that would be a little spotty. But my memory of her is that she always used to sing me a lullaby to sleep. And apparently, she stayed over and babysitted a lot. I think she was one of the babysitters that I probably had the longest as a young child. I always remember after she would sing me my lullaby to sleep, I would never be afraid, and I would always fall asleep before she was done, and then I would wake up the next morning. Shortly after this memory, my dad moved on from the real estate company I was working for, and we had moved out of Mr. Kenny's house, and you'd think that's where the story would end. You know, as a little kid, I, you know, always had fond memories of that particular babysitter. Well, anyway, we're going to fast forward in time. I'm 8 years old now, and we are back in California, and my dad had stopped in to see Mr. Kenny. Apparently, he had been more than just an employer. They had been personal friends, and so we were going to go over to Mr. Kenny's house for dinner that evening. And so we loaded up, and we went there, and you know, my mom asked me, you know, do you remember living here? And I remember little tiny bits and pieces of it, not very clearly. I remember very clearly being 8 years old and telling this story and going through all of this. But anyway, so we went there to Mr. Kenny's house and we had dinner and everything. And I looked up on the wall and there was a painting of my babysitter. And I was like, Mom, that's my babysitter that I told you about that I used to love so much that would babysit me. So my mom's looking at the painting, and keep in mind, this is not a portrait, this is a painting. So, you know, I'm telling you this, and I'm like, you know, ask who she is, because all those years I never really knew. So my mom went to my dad, and then my dad asked Mr. Kenny, and we're all sitting there in the dining room, and apparently the picture of my babysitter was Mr. Kenny's dead great-grandmother. And you know, you could say that this was just maybe the strange memories of a two-year-old child that somehow translated to when I was 8 years old. And, you know, I thought it looked like my babysitter, but maybe it wasn't. But there was one particular odd coincidence about the fact that this absolutely looked like my babysitter, like dead spot on, was the fact that the bedroom that I slept in at night, the same bedroom that my dog would not go into, the same bedroom that my dog would growl at or bark from the bottom of the stairwell, was the bedroom that his grandmother died in, that his great-grandmother died in. That was Eleanor's bedroom. So, was it a real ghost? Was it not a real ghost? I don't know. I was pretty young, but there was a lot of coincidences with the story, and you know, my memories of it are very, very, very strong and distinct. And it would be interesting to find out if you have any other listeners out there that have ever experienced anything like this. I've told the story a few times over the years, but to be honest with you, I've never really had anybody who had the same type of story. That's all I know is that I have, you know, whether she was a ghost or she was real or whatever, I had a lot of warm, fond memories. And it definitely was one of the very first things that had started my personal interest in the occult. Thank you very much for letting me be on the show. Good evening.
What a great story.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
The babysitter that you discover is really someone's dead grandmother through an old oil painting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that?
I'd be like, can I get that painting when once you kick it? would that be possible? And I'd phrase it just like that.
Yeah, you would.
I bet that would go over really well. Mm-hmm. When I kick it, what do you mean by that? You know, but that'd be one of those things, good memories. And when you're a little kid, it's, you know, you don't really know sometimes
yeah.
what's going on. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that. That was a good one. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kate from Tofino, British Columbia. And I work part-time at the local hospital here, and I'm also part-time a medium and an animal communicator. So I not only do I have some ghost stories of my own, but I hear about a lot of the ghost stories from the folks I work with at the hospital. And by the way, a shout out to Carly, who's one of my coworkers at the hospital, who told me about your podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. You guys are doing an amazing job. I love it so much. And I thought I would just send in one of the funnier ghost stories that I have. And I haven't heard anything like this from any of my animal communicator colleagues. So, and I've been listening through your archives. I don't know if you've got a story like this. So I hope I'm not repeating anything that you've already had. But I think it's pretty funny, and I haven't heard anything like it. So, and by the way, this story is with one of from a session from one of my friends, and I have permission to share this story. I wouldn't share a story that I didn't have permission to share. So I was in the session. We were having a conversation with her grandmother, and in the background, I'm getting this image of this little dog, this little like Yorkshire Terrier dog. So I said to her, you know, there's this tiny little, you know, Yorkie. Didn't you mention you had a Yorkie? And she was saying, oh yeah, that was my little dog. He passed a long time ago. So then I get this, the image of the little dog sitting in her lap and just kind of lunging at someone who, you know, reaches in to pet him, or someone who's just even walking by. Like, he's very, very possessive of her. And so I described to her what I saw, and it's like, it seems like he's pretty possessive. He's sitting in your lap and he's snapping at someone who's getting too close to you or trying to pet him or something. And she's like, yep, that was him. That was what he was doing. And then I see him walking around the house, and he's lifting his leg and he's peeing on things. He's just like leaving those little drops of pee everywhere. And then he gives me this sense of like this excitement and happiness and the sense of immediacy. So with animal communication, they're not often communicating in words. Sometimes it will translate to words, but usually they're just giving you the pure raw feeling of what their experience is. And so when I say a sense of immediacy, it was like, he's not saying this is what he used to do. He's saying he's doing this now. So I said to my friend, I'm like, so he's showing me peeing around your house? And she said, yes, he used to do that. He was so bad. And I said, I think he's still doing it. He's giving me the sense of, you know, excitement and love. And he's doing this so that you will notice him and know that he's still around. And she goes, oh my God. She says, I have ripped up the flooring in my studio. We've ripped up all of the carpeting. We have even replaced the drywall in some of the rooms, trying to get rid of the smell. And every once in a while, I will still smell dog pee, and I have no idea where it comes from. And I said, I think that you're getting that haunting smell, because sometimes when we get these visitations and they want us to know, our loved ones want us to know when they're around, usually it's something like a perfume that they wore, or cigarette smoke, or sawdust if, you know, the guy was a woodworker, or just the really familiar body odor. So usually it's that, but for this little dog, when he was coming back to visit his human mom, to let her know that he was around, he was going around and ghost peeing everywhere. So she laughed, and then we just had a conversation with him about other ways that he could let her know that she's around, because the smell of dog pee is very unappealing to humans. And so as far as I know, I asked her about a year later, she says she hadn't been smelling the dog pee around anymore. And we negotiated a little bit that he would try to give her the sound of the clicking of toenails. And part of that was her saying out loud when she thought she heard the toenails, or she felt like he was around, just say his name out loud. Just, you know, say like, hi puppy, you know, I know you're here. Thank you for visiting me. And that way he doesn't have to leave the pee smell so that she knows that he's visiting her. So anyway, that's my funny little ghost story. And I hope you guys enjoy it and keep up the podcast. I enjoy it. I clean my house to it. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Thanks so much.
That story almost makes you want to clean your house.
Well, I never would have thought about, okay, so, you know, some dogs have the little jingly bell or whatever a cat does. You know, what if a dog doesn't have that? How do they let you know
sure.
that they're there? And they don't have perfumes to share, so that's it.
Makes sense.
It does.
I mean, when you think of how animals kind of mark their spaces and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a sense of pride.
Yeah.
If you will. And there you got it in death, too.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's a lot of people who just heard that story and just shit. I've done that. I've ripped up this carpet. I've done this and that, and I can't get rid of it. And the animal's been gone forever. Or I know my current one doesn't do this. What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
I bet there was a lot of aha moments right there.
Hope so.
So
that's what this is about.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Let's go to Tony in New Mexico.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Tony from Albuquerque again. I'm an EPP, and I enjoy your show immensely. I listen to you guys on a daily basis. You've read a previous story of mine about an Ouija board session and an entity pretending to be my grandfather. You also had a photo that I had taken of a ghostly hug featured on Seeing Ghosts. I wanted to give you some additional stories of that house that we lived in when the ghostly hug picture was taken. We moved into the house in 2004, shortly after my wife Melissa and I were married. It was our second marriage for both of us, and we lived there with my wife's three children and our dog Mocha. We lived there for several months before we started noticing weird sounds, knocking on windows, voices, and stuff flying off of counters. We tried to downplay these occurrences and explain them away. That was until we all started seeing faces peeking around corners whenever we were alone in the room. I have a habit of watching late night TV and falling asleep on the couch. I would wake up after feeling someone shake me. Thinking this was my wife, I would wake up and I'd run down the hall. Everybody would be asleep. Normally when this would happen, I would see a face peeking around the corner at me also. This happened many times each month the whole time we lived there. The kids would regularly report seeing shadow figures and floating faces, which would freak me the fuck out. Weird feelings and thoughts seemed to plague all of us. There was a foul, rotten meat smell that would come and go, always in the eldest daughter's room. We could never find a source for the smell. Multiple unexplained near fires, electrical and other problems. Shortly before we moved out, I was getting into bed and hit my knee on the bed frame. Shit, that hurt, I yelled. I grabbed my knee in pain, and I heard my wife laughing a strange laugh. When I looked at her eyes, they were blue-gray, which sucked because my wife has dark brown eyes. I had never seen her face look like that. Plus, she would not laugh at me being hurt like that. It did not look or sound like my wife. Her normal eyes and face seemed to come to the surface finally as she asked, "Why did I laugh at you? I'm so sorry." That was the last fucking straw. We moved out soon after. Our poor dog Mocha started whining as soon as we started moving out, and I could not console her. We had to take her to the new house first. This was unlike her. She was a very calm dog. I was there by myself the last night loading the moving truck one last time. I went in to check that everything was loaded, and well, the house kind of came alive with crashing noises, rattling, banging, voices. There was nothing in the house to rattle or bang. Well, I ran out of there as fast as I could, got in the truck, and never looked back. My thoughts on this house is that there was some kind of portal there. Me and my wife guessed that maybe the large transformer in the backyard could have powered some of the activity. I'd like to know your thoughts on this. I love the show. Please keep up the great work. Take care.
I don't know about a portal. It's just hard to know, you know, with... It sounds like it was just kind of one thing that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be more to the story.
What I particularly enjoyed about the story was, I know he was reading it back, but when you have cursing, when you're reading something back, I find it humorous.
Well, he wanted his thought to be complete,
sure.
So he wrote it down.
It was. I just enjoyed it. And then I freaked the fuck out. I love it.
That's great.
It was. And he did have a really, really good photo, which also connects this story to some of his others. In our, I believe it was the last episode of Seeing Ghosts. It was in one of the last couple of them. And it's a ghost hug photo. And it's really weird. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the my favorite, I think, of what we have had on that show. And it is clearly a ghost giving someone a hug, which is just supposed to be a picture of someone, but there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
But that will also tie into whatever is going on in this house.
Sure.
Obviously something odd.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's other stuff, we want to hear about it, too, you know, that might lead into why you think it was a portal.
Yeah, I mean, the more information that we have to go on when we're talking about this stuff, I think the better diagnosis or, feedback we can give,
mm-hmm.
you know, when there's so many different things that happen. Because a lot of times we get the story of like one, 15th of the pie
mm-hmm.
of the whole story. But as we begin to learn more and more and more, it's like, oh, okay, based on this, based on that part over there, here's, what we think. So if there's more to that, please do share. And then we'll continue to give you feedback on that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you all for listening. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. That's ghostpodcast.com, in case you didn't hear it. Ghostpodcast.com. Go there now. Ghostpodcast.com. Like this horrible commercials.
There you go.
Head On relieves headaches. Head On makes headache. What did that used to remember? Head On.
Yeah, I remember that. It gave you a headache. It didn't take it away.
So anyway, check out ghostpodcast.com. Become an EPP. Help us stay on the air and get freaked out. Almost 100 bonus episodes there for you. So check it out and help us keep doing this thing. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.